today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
A steward's role is central to who or she is. The core of the person is tied to how we steward things. And what he or she has been called to accomplish, not only to accomplish, but to achieve in life and in ministry. So when the Bible says wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. God is saying, I can track the way you steward to tell what kind of person you are. That's a major statement here.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Six Pillars for Growing Stewards. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5.
I want to encourage you to buy a Bible, to make sure you have paper and not just technology. I want to also encourage you to take notes. If you're watching on the internet, take notes and flow with your pastor and make sure you're growing in things of God. Multimedia has become a barrier to real warm fellowship. And so you must do something to stay connected. Nobody is being called away from the church to step away from the church, even though there's a barrier with this variant and with the pandemic that's going on. Endeavor to keep the unity and forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, for as often as you do, you gain strength. We must come together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, there is no need for me to write to you about the service to the saints. For I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since the last year, or since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you have promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. You would say, Bishop, I don't understand all of that. Well, we're talking about stewardship. And if you're not a good steward or you don't know anything about stewardship, this would be vague to you. So we need to make sure we dive into the text so we all can become better stewards of our life, our resources, and the cultural mandate that God has given to the church. And that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The series is called Financial Liberty. Financial Liberty 2022. It's been several years since I spoke on anything concerning stewardship, and I believe the Lord is leading me at the top of this year to do that. Today's message, I preached Stewardship 101, part 1 and 2 last week. I strongly recommend that you go and listen to both messages and keep yourself connected with the Word of God here. Today's message is entitled Six Pillars. I'll do it part 1 and part 2 today. Six Pillars for Growing Stewards. Six keys, six things to help bolster your stewardship. And I believe God to give you wisdom and how to manage your life and His creation better. Father, I thank you for this time and I bless you for this moment. You've walked with us through the years. I'm so grateful. I honor you for this moment As I teach, I pray that you would be glorified. Go before this word and prepare us with ears to hear, a mind to comprehend. Give us hearts to receive and a spirit to contain your word. And we will give you glory for your word. I bind every satanic spirit that comes to hinder our stewardship. I come against the lack of planning and the spontaneous moves that we make. You still watch over us. Thank you for helping us to become more mature there and not just move because we feel something. But when building a tower, we will count up the cost or divorce ourselves from any emotional ties with what we want. Learn how to be the people of God that always honors you before we invest in ourselves. For this, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for those keys. Amen. It is good to be here in the house of the Lord. I want to take a moment and just say to you that stewardship is something that every believer is a part of your discipleship as a believer, your development and learning how to follow Jesus adequately is to learn how to be a steward over what he's released for you to cover in your life. So what is a biblical steward? Here we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, Paul to the Corinthians is laying out a framework. He says, I boasted in this church. I talked to others about how wonderful you respond to stewardship. But I need to send some people to you. Some men of the cloth, some priests, to come to you to make sure I check on you so that my boasting would not be in vain. Whatever you expect, you should be able to inspect. And some people have a problem with that when they're inspected. But if you have any job and you're a part of anything that you're holding, that you have responsibility over, you should be willing to be inspected. For somebody to look at how you function and flow and give you an evaluation. And if you're doing that on your job, you shouldn't have a problem if it's done in your church. Because the church is basically a cluster of our community, a group of people that have been gathered or called out of the community, called out from jobs, community, families to form a church. And you should see some of the same things you see while in your family and on your job. You should see it in your church. And if you're a good steward, all you do when you're checked out and investigated, you say, look, I've done what I need to do. I'm a manager of what God has given me. I'm going to make sure I manage it well. And there's no need to have any feelings of discontentment when you're investigated or someone says, I think you can balance this out better or you can do it better. There's no need to get feelings hurt. And if they do get hurt, then we're mature enough to handle it. Instead of leaving, we make the adjustments. There are people, as soon as they get their feelings hurt in church, they leave instead of making the correction. It takes about 3 years, really, 2-3 years working with a new ministry to really settle down and allow somebody to speak to you about the real you. It takes about 3 years in a relationship before you start showing your heart. And that's why I don't agree that no one should get married talking about they fell in love when they first met the person. I don't believe that. These shows that you see coming on TV today, a man just meets a woman and because he's rich, she just fall in love with him. He may be the most hellish, crazy person you've ever seen in your life. And if he got all of these muscles, what you bringing to the table? And if she's so fine, but you haven't even worked on yourself, how do you think you're going to balance all that out? We need to come together in love, and we need to make sure we're examining each other, not just to find flaws, but to see if we're compatible. Whatever I expect, I believe God wants me to inspect my children, their rooms, Every once in a while, I go through the closet to make sure ain't no Hennessy up there. And I make sure ain't no packs and stuff stacked in your drawer, and not in my house. And I don't know why parents are so lazy today. I'm not saying you're supposed to be intrusive, but if it's your house, check it out. And when you become a parent, do the same thing that I'm talking about. You don't like it when it's done to you. But when you become a parent, you better check on your kids. Whatever you expect, you should inspect. And Paul says, I'm expecting for you to give. So I'm sending people to inspect how you move. No one is standing over the offering here at the church to dictate who does what. I don't even check those things because I want to keep myself away from that. And sometimes people that give a lot would expect to have promotion a lot. But that's not, the promotion is not tied to how well you give. At the same time, it is an indicator of your righteousness. For wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. But we don't promote just the big givers. The thrillers and the $100 billers. We don't promote people just because they give, because you can give and still not be ready to lead people. At the same time, if you lead people, you should lead by what? Example. If you have any position of authority in ministry, if you hold any, there should be seed in the ground. There should be a mark of good stewardship that follows your movement or the words that you speak. A lot of people that's big talkers, a lot of time, aren't good stewards. Because if you know, you need not say. And those that say may not know. So what is biblical stewardship? A steward's role is central. Please get this. It is central to who he or she is. The stewardship role is central to who he or she is and what he or she has been called to accomplish or to achieve in life and in ministry. I say again, a steward's role is central to who or she is. The core of the person is tied to how we steward things. And what he or she has been called to accomplish, not only to accomplish, but to achieve in life and in ministry. So when the Bible says wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. God is saying, I can track the way you steward to tell what kind of person you are. That's a major statement here. I can look at how you steward, how you manage what I put over your care or put you over to manage, and I can tell what kind of character you have. Actually, how many of you know what a credit score is, right? Well, the credit score, I call it your digital character score, right? So we can look at how you spend and look at how you flow and tell what type of character you have. And if you are changing jobs like you eat peanut butter cookies, and changing addresses just because you don't like your neighbor and you are not paying your bills on time, they are saying that they can tell what kind of person you are if we want to give you a loan for a house. Well, if that's true, God says, I'm giving you the word. The word is actually what says this. The word says, wherever the treasure goes or how you steward the treasure, that's where your heart is. So whatever you invest in most, some people invest in jerseys. They so love their team. The Magic can already set and see what they're going to do in the next season because people are buying season tickets. Listen to what I say. They have agents that call up folk. Myself and one of the brothers here got season tickets a few years ago. I don't know if I'm doing that anymore. And went over, had a chance to see LeBron James. And he was so big to me, it just blew me away. I mean, I was like, this man, he walked right up under us. I was like, my God. I mean, 6'7", 8'9". I mean, just an amazing physical specimen of a basketball player. Ooh, I wish. Ooh, I'll be a bad member, Jeff. Ooh, my God. But again, had a chance to see that, but someone was addressing us. They even found us and found our seat to see if we want to get another season set of tickets. While we were sitting in the stands, the man found me. I guess he knew where we were because we were assigned seats. He showed up, had on a nice jacket, suit, crossed his legs, white pants on, nice, flowing, had his hair all, you know, manicured, metrosexual type dude. Came in and sat down and said, listen, you, I want to buy some more tickets for next year. I said, I'm watching the game, man. He was already setting it up for me to spend $1,000 so I can see tickets and see games next year. Now, we see these things happening all the time. If you ever go on a cruise, they want to see if you want to come back the next year, right? But it's only when they start talking about God that we draw up. When we start talking about being a good steward, the way God wants us to be a good steward, when we start talking about what's going to happen next year, when we try to set the economy of God, you get all of these theologians talking about tithing is not in the New Testament, and I don't know what's going on. God has not gotten us. God doesn't have us in slavery. No, we're not bound by law. All of this is about love. Stewardship is not law. It's about love. How do you respond in love to the things of God? Amen. Glory to God. And so we're defining stewardship today. There are three definitions given in the English word, or to the English word called steward. Number one, it is a person who looks after the passenger on a ship or an aircraft. If you've ever been on a train, aircraft, or ship, you have stewards. They look after your bags. They look after you. It makes sure people will come to you, knock on the door to see if there's anything they can do to help you. That's a good steward on an aircraft or a ship or even a train. They will bring you meals if necessary. They want that tip now, but they're going to bring you meals. Actually, sometimes they put it in the whole package, the tips for your steward. And then number two, it is the official appointed to supervise or arrange to keep order of a large public gathering. And so even now, the Super Bowl is about to take place in California. You have stewards that are making sure things are right for that game or for that event to take place. They're working beforehand to make sure that everything is okay. Millions of dollars, possibly billions, have been poured into this event, and everybody wants to make money off of it. And so you need stewards, officials appointed to supervise the arrangements of this public gathering. And then third, and I like the third one because it's more biblical, it is a person employed to manage another's property, especially a large house or estate. A person employed to manage another's property, especially a large house or estate. The third definition is most in line to what I'm trying to teach today. How do you manage after being employed by an owner? How do you manage their property or another person's estate? How well do you manage the responsibility to watch over what God has given you? So what does the Bible say about money and possessions? In our previous message, especially last week, I shared with you Stewardship 101 and took Joseph out of Genesis chapter 39, starting at verse 1, several verses there, how Joseph being a slave, but when he was sold by the Ishmaelites, taken by the Ishmaelites, who is the first son of Abraham. His descendants, the Ishmaelites, are the ones that bought Joseph and took him down to Egypt. We have to look at Abraham, because when he stepped out of the will of God and created an Ishmael line, that Ishmael line started fighting the purpose of God. I want you to see the tie here. Things that we create out of our flesh sometimes will come back to haunt us. The Ishmaelites took Joseph, and the scripture says in the book of Psalms, they hurt his ankles with fetters. They didn't care about the young lad. They had no, they cared, didn't care about how he screamed or being snatched away from his father at that age. They just put shackles on his feet and made him walk all the way to Egypt, and his ankles were bruised by it. A type of Christ, hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, descending into hell, but on the third day ascending out of it. For Joseph, it was worse. He didn't descend out to now sit on the throne. He descended, ascended out of the pit to then be sold into slavery down at Potiphar's house. But if you read Genesis 39, you will see that when he ascended into Potiphar's house, a type of descent as well, as a slave, God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. The master was blessed because of the slave. You know why? Because his stewardship spoke for him. Please read Genesis 39. His stewardship spoke louder than chains. His stewardship, his ability to manage another's property. He wasn't bitter and say, well, I'm just going to burn up the barn, or I'll sabotage their food, or I'm going to work behind the scenes and I'm going to spit in his juice and I'm going to do all of the things that a lot of slaves do. You know what he says? I'm going to rise up. I believe God gave me a dream, and even though the dream hadn't manifested, that dream will guide me. Not my feelings, my emotions, my setbacks, my issues, my trials, these chains, or these scars on my ankles. I'm going to do what I was called to do. If I'm ever to become Zaphnath-Paneah, the savior of anything, to where the sun, the moon, and the stars bow to me. Obviously, God knows my track. And for me to get there, I got to learn how to walk with these chains. And some of us don't know. We want to be delivered, but God uses your present situation to get you ready for where he's taking you to go. And if you can become a good steward over what you have now, or over what somebody else has given you now, instead of trying to just say, well, I'm waiting on my time and looking futuristically and not taking care of what's before you today. Because if you're faithful over a few things, God makes you ruler over many things. This is how he works. You want to run a corporation, but you can't clean your room. You got to get your head together. You want to be a pastor when you're going to preach, but you're not handling the ministry that he's given you. How many people join the church because of you? How many people even visit because of you? How many people came out of darkness and was translated into the kingdom of lights because of you and your testimony? How well are you stewarding the manifold grace? Oh, it's not just teaching. Do you have an influence in your life? And if you start being a better steward, the influence will come. The influence comes to those who are taking care of their responsibilities. Glory to God. It's hard to get an amen when you talk about stewardship. It's hard. Often we end up talking about money and issues, but we also need to talk about the foundation of stewardship. How you deal with money, your possessions, and your giving are all important, but they fall under the umbrella of our biblical call to be stewards. First thing is being a good steward. Before we deal with possessions and money and all of that other stuff, we need to learn how to just handle our emotions. Become a good steward of what God has given us. There are more than 2,000 Bible verses concerning money. That's like 20% of all scripture. And so if every 5 weeks, if I talked about money, it wouldn't bother God. Because 20% of scripture centers around how we relate to funds. We must see God as a provider. Yes. And we must use money and possessions to further his king, the king's agenda, or the kingdom of God, or God's way of doing things and not our own. When we realize we are managers of the resource that he's given us. I said managers and not owners. Okay, I know you say I own my house, but really you're a manager. It's amazing to me. How no one has ever been able to take their house into the afterlife. or even the diamonds that you wear, the clothes, the shoes, the Jordans, the stuff that you like, or your ganja. You can't take any of it in there. It's all left outside of the casket.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from Six Pillars for Growing Stewards, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2202-1308. That's reference number 2202-1308. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with Truth Revealed International Ministries. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with Trim Nation by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. The Truth Revealed app is available on Android and Apple mobile devices. Services can also be watched on Facebook, YouTube, Apple TV, and Roku.
Ladies, Awaken is headed to the Woman Thou Art Loose Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on September 22nd through the 24th. Space is limited, and if you are interested in traveling with us, email awaken@truthreveal.org by Sunday, May 15th. And ladies, don't forget to join Pastor Sabrina Sundays at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary for Women's Sunday School. Abishai Inspired Men, join Bishop Clark and special guests live or in person for Men's Fellowship on Saturday, May 14th at 9 a.m. Ministers Enrichment Training will take place Sunday, May 15th at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary. Contact Elder Toby Hubbard for more information.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.